You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And John at Topeka, they do a heck of a show.
Live from New York.
What's wrong with you?
Because you made fun of my friend. Called him highfalutin.
I'm sorry, I didn't buy the leather-bound editions.
First things first, day two.
Back from vacation.
Day two. Today, Russell Wilson excited for what's next. But is there a starting job available for him? Maybe not. Meanwhile, Dak addresses criticism of the Cowboys' culture, and Brew in the meeting said, "This is right in my wheelhouse."
That's what he said.
And finally, a new segment in the vein of Mahomes Mountain. We put it to a vote. Mahomes Mountain NBA edition lost, Brew, but it didn't make it to the finals.
That's well done.
We're outvoted. We're going with King of the Hill.
I wanted King of the Hill too.
Okay. Well, I mean, you won.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Alongside.
What's he talking?
King of the Hill it is.
Not even your segment.
As I said.
What is he talking about?
Okay, you won. You won the naming of your segment.
I was agnostic on the name. Brew, I'm glad your suggestion.
I wanted Mahomes Mountain NBA edition.
Yeah.
You lost. So that's the tease for a segment coming in an hour. But we start with the fallout of Russ being officially cut by the Broncos. Denver will take an $85 million dead money hit over 2 years. In the history of the NFL, Russ's contract is the first and fourth most dead money ever. Quick tale of two cities, not in the book. I know you're so literary. Russ's career in Seattle, great. Two Super Bowls, one. With the Broncos, not so much. Although he played okay last year. Nick disagrees. Who does this look worse for, the whole situation, macro, Denver or Russ?
I'll give a direct answer, but before I do, we shouldn't have to start so negative.
Oh.
Can we talk about who it looks great for?
Sure.
Your old buddy Nick Wright. Classic one. Not even a two. Just an all-time classic one.
It was a classic one.
Immediately correct every step of the way. Almost like a classic zero. More correct. It might have been invented. I was more right than I thought I could have been. And so, it's on Russ. It was a two-year classic one. But... to go negative, like we have to go in sports TV. Yeah. I wanted to go positive. Listen, it's bad for Denver, but because it happened almost simultaneous with a worse trade and worse contract with Deshaun Watson, I think it's kind of mitigated. And so because just in historically, I don't think people can say this is the worst trade. It's like, well, the Deshaun trade, they gave up more and paid him more, and they can't get rid of him. So because of that, I think it is clearly worse for Russ because, Brew, it is a fall without an off-field scandal or an injury. Unlike Dusty, Josh, all for like 20 minutes before the show, we're like, what is the comp for this? Cross sports, the best I could come up with was Kurt Warner, maybe. And Kurt did come back at the end. But Kurt also, he had multiple injuries that broke a hand, broke a wrist, broke a finger. Like, and so it was like that. That felt like it was.
But his run, as great as it wasn't as long as Russ's.
No, it wasn't as long. It was a higher peak, right, but shorter time. Hey, Josh brought up like maybe Russell Westbrook in the time from league MVP to like can't even play for the Lakers. But that just felt that more about fit than it was the player. Yeah. So it is just. David Duvall was what I came up with.
Oh.
And you have to go to golf 20 years ago. And so.
Can I throw one to you that I had written down?
Yeah.
I wrote down Carson Wentz-esque.
But Carson Wentz, here's the thing with
I know
that.
He's never was at the
no,
height.
No, but he also got his leg broken and ACL snapped. And maybe we can say it was going to go poorly, but it was. He was near. He's going to win league MVP. Gets his leg broken and is never the same player. And so RG3, we've seen those things. And we've seen scandal. Russ wasn't old enough for us to say, oh, nope, it was just age. And for it to be this bad, this quickly, and to where what it's going to cost him, because I don't know he's going to be a starter, Brew. And so my answer is going to be Russell Wilson.
You really got me thinking.
I know. We've spent a lot of time thinking about it. It's hard to find.
Yeah, it's hard right away. But I'm glad you brought up Kurt Warner, because I thought about that when Russ, you know, when they released him and now he's, you know, he released his statement. He has that. Kurt Warner was bad with the Giants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it was like.
It was bad at the end with the Rams.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Before
and
the
then
Giants.
He resurrected really himself in Arizona. Yeah. So I'm not saying he's going to lead a team to a Super Bowl like Kurt Warner did, but. I think this is an opportunity. Like, it doesn't have to be done for Russ. So that's why I think it's worse for the Broncos. It's bad for both of them. Don't get me wrong. And that includes Sean Payton. Because Sean Payton came in as the golden boy. And, of course, he's got time to – maybe they'll be very good next year or in the future. So he can erase that. Mm-hmm. But right now, Sean Payton looked bad. Yeah. Their defense went from, like, solid, like 14th in the league to 27th. In the league. They gave up a 70 piece. He won seven games after saying, I'd be shocked if we don't make the playoffs in the preseason. And all of his gaffes in the media and the missteps and things like that. So I think it looks bad for everybody, but I'm going to focus more on the Broncos, because remember, this also was new ownership. The Walton, you know, of Walmart, Rob Walton and all that. Their first thing, I mean, I don't think they hired Hackett. Right, he was there before
Jordan, them. He was giving him the deal.
But yeah, but they came in, and I mean, before Russ gets off the plane, they give him this huge extension. So first of all, they gave up all of this, you know, with the three players, the five picks, two of them first round picks, and Seattle's made good on that. Devon Witherspoon was an All-Pro, Pro Bowl cornerback, and they got an offensive lineman that starts for him in that. And then they made it worse by giving him this extension. And so this has to make you say, okay, how confident am I in our ownership? Yep. You know, they went out and, you know, paid Russ before they even saw him play for us at all, even in practice. And so I think there's that. And I think, Nick, like I said, Russ, wherever he goes, has a chance to – I don't think he'll get back to what he was, but to play well. And like you said, Wiles, he wasn't horrible last year. I don't think he's an on-time quarterback. I think that's where the problems begin. I think he's more of a guy that's going to scramble around and make plays, and he couldn't do that in Denver, and he
So a couple things. One of the reasons he couldn't do that his first year in Denver, because he came in out of shape, and then he refused to run. And his second year in Denver, and I think Sean Payton agrees with me, and I'm not saying I want to make it very clear. I know some people at Fox have real relationships with Sean Payton. I'm not one of them. I don't know him, so this is not coming from Sean at all. But I think he agrees with me, given the sideline interactions and him benching Russ and all of that. Russ was playing a Russell Wilson selfish style of quarterback, where he was not making the best plays. Instead, he was protecting that touchdown interception ratio. So folks would say things like this: well, last year he wasn't that bad. You know, he only had one less touchdown than Patrick Mahomes. Look at the ratio. I watched every game he played. He was awful. He wasn't
awful.
He was a bottom eight quarterback in football last year.
I wouldn't say. Now, look, I hear you. We've talked about this before, and the numbers, you're right, they're a bit deceiving. Because you look at the numbers, and you're like,
right,
top five or six in passer rating, top 10 in touchdowns. I give you that. But I wouldn't say all.
Okay, well,
it wasn't nearly.
You know who would? Sean Payton and the Broncos, who are giving him $85 million to leave with no other plan. With no contingency.
That's part of why they look worse. Oh,
well, you can. That's fine. Like, and I don't.
What is the play?
No, and I understand your argument. And my point that just because the Browns made an even worse decision, that probably is bad
logic.
Which
still could maybe.
And I guess maybe that could turn around. But I think Russ was so bad his first year in Denver that people are now overstating his second year in Denver. They were a team that. Again, had Jared Stidham as a backup, still that's who they have as a backup, and they save no money next year by moving on from him. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, we're going to take a $39 and then a $46 million dead cap at the next two seasons because we have to get you out of here.
All right. In a letter to Bronco Country posted on social media, Russ said, tough times don't last, but tough people do. And he was excited for what's next. So the question is this, what's next? Here's the Vegas odds for Russ's next spot. Steelers, Raiders, Falcons, Patriots, Vikings. Brew, caveat here is since Denver is paying his full salary, he can play for the minimum, which is $1.21 million. Denver would pay the rest. So where do you see Russ?
Well, I had not seen the odds when I came up with my list, but Pittsburgh makes the most sense. And I know the reports are saying they're not interested in Russ, Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield. Like, I don't know what the Steelers are doing. I used to be a huge Steelers fan as a kid. Like, crazy Steelers
fan.
As much as you're a Chiefs fan.
Being from Iowa?
From Cincinnati.
And Cincinnati?
Because my dad liked them. Because Joe Gillum was a black quarterback that they had before Bradshaw. So my dad liked them. So I liked them because of my dad. But I love the Steelers. But if I were that big of a fan now, I would be ticked off. Like, what are they thinking? Were you going to do this with Kenny Pickett, who has 13 touchdowns in like 24 starts in his career? Like, if they want to be 9-8, 10-7 at best, and get walloped in the postseason every year? Like, and it doesn't have to be Russ. Russ would not be my number one of those four guys I listed. But I'm just saying, if they're not going after the other three, go get Russell Wilson for freaking $1 million. Maybe at worst, he's your starter, and you can Pickett. I know Pickett's like 25, almost 26, but maybe Pickett can learn a little something by sitting on the bench. I don't know, but I'm just saying he's better than – what you would admit he's better than Pickett.
Well, for the record, I think Pittsburgh, they might like Mason Rudolph more than Kenny Pickett. I mean,
but even again,
listen, I wrote down Pittsburgh should do it, but I think these Vegas odds
are wrong. It's going to be the Raiders. If they don't can't move up and get a quarterback they want,
I don't think it'll be the Raiders.
What are they going to do at quarterback?
I think the Raiders have played Russell Wilson four times the last 2 years. They do not. Anyone that has watched him closely doesn't want him. What's interesting about these odds is you have Minnesota and Atlanta on there. One of those is going to be eliminated because Kirk Cousins is going to be playing for one of them. You know what I mean?
So like, Minnesota if they lose Cousins.
If they guys,
why not for a million?
For $1 million maybe. But then anyone that brings him in, he is competing for a job.
So can I dig into that?
Yeah.
I know I said a million. He can play for a million. Mm-hmm. But there's a theory out there, and Florio did a lot of the digging on this, that he can play for as low as a million, but this is Florio's theory, that then the franchise is not financially invested in him. So it's like, $1 million. Now, you know what? We said start you, but we're going to sit you. Versus if you spend $20 million paying.
$20 million?
I'm just saying, if you pay $20 million for a guy who was a starting quarterback is not a lot of money. But then you have to show some commitment to your promise to have him start, where it's a million. It's like, it's $1 million.
Yeah, nobody is going to give him a commitment.
Russ has, and I've said this over the past 2 years, he should be humbled. He should be humbled. He shouldn't be thinking about any office. I'm sure he's not thinking about something like that. But he should go somewhere for $1 million. A lot of people have tracked his start to his decline to when he started getting the huge money. Now, whether you believe in that or not, but I'm just saying right now he should have the attitude he had as a rookie going to Seattle when nobody thought he was going to start and he had to prove himself. Mm-hmm. He's got to do it now.
Okay. I don't think this is a matter of Russell Wilson getting back to his roots. He's not good anymore.
So you're saying basically, politely, that he's washed.
I'm actually not trying to be that polite. For 2 years, I've been trying to tell everyone. And he is, guys, Nat Hackett couldn't make it through a season. Nat Hackett, before the end of his first game as a head coach, after an offseason training camp preseason and 3.8 NFL quarters, he was like, better chance to win this football game. This guy kicked the longest field goal of his life, or Russell Wilson pick up 6 yards. He's like, I've seen enough. Go with the kicker. Doesn't make it through the year. Sean Payton could have any job he wanted. Everyone's like, oh, Denver gave him a bunch of money. Guess what? Sean Payton was going to make a boatload of money anywhere. Goes there in part because he's like, I can fix that. I'm so calm down and fixed out. I'll tell USA Today the other coach was a bumbling fool because he couldn't fix it. Sean Payton, 3 months into the season, screaming at him on the sideline, and now get out of here.
Pete Carroll.
Guys, I'm here to tell you that he can't play at a starting NFL level anymore.
No, now, hold on, Nick. Yeah. Nick.
What?
And I agree with you because I watched those games too.
Yes, I know.
And I was like, he doesn't look good. They struggled mightily in the red zone. I'm shocked he had 26 touchdowns because when you watch them, it didn't look like they had 26 touchdowns. But my point is, he did have 26 touchdowns. And I think he had 3 rushings, so 29 or whatever. 8 interceptions.
Yeah.
98 passer rating. I know it was only 205 yards a game, but I'm just saying, that's starter quality.
Okay.
Low starter. Okay.
So give us the team.
Well, it should be Pittsburgh. I think it'll be the Raiders if it's not Pittsburgh.
You think Antonio Pierce is like, I'm here.
What else Raiders is he going to go with Aiden O'Connell?
No, they might draft a guy. They're going to draft a guy.
If they can move up and draft somebody, fine. I think New England will draft somebody. I think Washington will draft somebody. Minnesota, if they lose Cousins, I think that could be the place too.
So I think
whoever loses out on these other guys.
I think the place that makes the most sense to bring him in and see could be New England. Because I think New England's the most likely team to take advantage of the desperate Giants. So the Giants are at 6, New England's at 3. New England says, you're a franchise that hasn't done anything right in a decade. I would love to have a future pick from you. So you trade a 6 for 3, and then the Patriots take, whether it's Joe Alt or Neighbors or, you know what I mean, a blue chip guy that's a non-quarterback, and bring in Russ to compete with Mac Jones. Mac, we're not giving up on you, but we're bringing in competition. Let that play out.
I think it's a fresh start in New England to the point where it might hurt my guy Mac Jones. I don't think that sounds very similar to bring in Cam Newton.
Yes.
It's just exactly similar. It's like, you know what? This guy used to be great.
Yeah.
Might not still have it, but I'm sure with a great defense, a little bit of running, we can make it work. And it feels like a Band-Aid for the franchise that needs to really have a full-on
real
rebuild.
Quick, and I know I'm glad you just said that. People were totally willing, correctly, to say Cam Newton – wash. I don't know why people are hesitant to say that about Russell Wilson.
I think it's because we saw Cam he took so many hits that we knew it was because his body had betrayed him.
You know, and there's also that one, and Dusty, we used to break out the stat, like after that one hit, who was it?
We know. I think it was T.J. Watt.
Yeah, T.J. Watt. There was like a line in the sand where like Cam's accuracy and sort of deep field passing. I listened to Russ and did a podcast with Brandon yesterday. And he talked more about, and again, it wasn't a long conversation about the specific injuries, but he talked about his knee injury and lat injury more than I expected him to. He's like, he talked about his finger injury. I was like, you know what? The narrative around Russ was never like, hey, he was injured. So I wonder if, since no one really has a solution of why he has fallen off the cliff, maybe this lat injury is a little affecting him more than maybe the media is
maybe. Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to that. I know that the line of, instead of the line being T.J. Watt hitting Cam Newton, the line was Russell Wilson deciding, I'm better than what we have in Seattle. I'm going to prove it to the world. And Pete Carroll's saying, okay, go ahead. And since then, it has not worked out that
way. All right, so Sean Payton looking for his next quarterback. Here's who Vegas has the odds. Stidham.
Oh, God.
Jarrett the Jaffa.
Inject this list into my veins as a Chiefs
fan. J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, yeah. Trade up for it.
Bruce Wolverines. Bo Nix.
Oh, please. Hope he's there.
Now, Jameis.
Dark
Horse. Had some success with Sean Payton. Penix. And then Gardner, who wins games. But I don't think any of these guys are necessarily on Mahomes' level.
Oh,
Brew
man.
To you.
All right, here's what they should do. Draft J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, please, please draft J.J. McCarthy.
Draft J.J.
He might not
McCarthy
be there. You probably got to trade up,
you
guys.
You can get him. And start, go sign Jameis Winston, because you mocked.
No.
But a few years ago, if you remember, Jameis Winston was a dark horse MVP candidate. That.
You want to know what a good
Sean
teammate
Payton.
I am, Brew? Give him Jameis Winston with Sean Payton.
You called up some video. No.
Oh, I built this because I knew this was going to be your pick. So, ignore the yards,
though.
America. But
14-3 touchdown interception. And that was coming off the year where he threw 30 picks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the passer rating his career high. Look, it's a stopgap, but I'm saying draft JJ, sign Jameis. If Sean likes Jameis, and he started him, so he must be okay with him. So let Jameis start and let JJ sit for a year, and maybe he could become your QB of the future.
All right. This is the good stuff, man. This is just, like, Brew grew up, just told the audience, I always believe Brew because he's probably the most honest person I've ever met. But also, I could feel the Steelers fandom coming out because Brew dropped the rare frickin', which we know is an F-bomb. And so, yeah, he only did that out of the frustration out of his fandom. I grew up, as you guys know, a Chiefs fan. And I grew up watching the Broncos kick my team's ass all throughout the 90s. And now a few weeks ago, I got to watch John Elway hand us the Super Bowl trophy. And now we're doing a full screen of who's going to be the Broncos' next quarterback. And if they do overdraft one of these mediocre quarterbacks who's going to be the fourth or fifth quarterback drafted, guess what? They're not going to be like, oh, the cheat code, cheap quarterback on a rookie scale, not when you have the number 8 cap it next year and the year after in dead money from Russ. This type of mistake is a 5-year mistake. The 2 years you already wasted and the next 3 getting out from under it. And the problem is, once you're 3 years from now through with it, you know who's supposed to be the best players on your team? Those first round picks that you didn't get to make who would be hitting their prime. So I don't think this is short-term recoverable. I don't think it matters who the Broncos' next quarterback is, because he's not going to be very good next year. None of those guys that would be a star, but you're going to be having a quarterback stars cap hit, and you're down players. And so, yeah, I mean, please, listen, you probably got to trade up to get J.J. McCarthy. Man, Harbaugh says he's great, so maybe mortgage another first-rounder. But Jameis is going to be the guy.
You think so?
I bet Jameis is on the Broncos. I think that makes sense. I mean,
they were 5-2, 14-3
goodness. The Raiders.
Jameis, this is your
Raiders,
chance.
Go get Bo Nix.
Why the Lakers don't care about their seed after a win against the Thunder.
Oh, God.
Next on FS1, the Fox Sports Channel Series.
That was just delightful.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming up tomorrow, it's the return of Nick's Tears, but this time, basketball edition. We didn't rename this one. And you have a new outfit on.
I don't have a new outfit on.
Yeah, you used to wear that orange jacket for Tears promo.
Oh, you're right. But that's,
and that,
yeah.
Looks great. Right, I like that.
Thanks.
Why is LeBron on there? The top 20 players? Lakers roll.
Tears is teams, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The Lakers, I mean, what place? Hey, Dusty, what place are the Lakers in? 10th?
Three games out of 5th.
9th.
How far away?
Three games out.
How far?
Otherwise known
as far away from last.
Thunder shot 31% in the first
half. Well, step on that graphic because they're in 10th. But this charlatan doesn't point that out. Go ahead.
Thunder didn't shoot well. LeBron goes for 19-11-8. AD at 24-12. Lake Show finished the season series against OKC 3-1. Thunder now half a game back in the West. What did the Lakers prove to you last night, bro?
Well, I would go to the shoulders and dust them off, but I wasted that at the intro.
Yeah, you probably should have held them.
I should have, because they proved exactly what I said yesterday, which is Denver's better. The Clippers have been in a swoon lately, but I think if they, you know, they're
you
better.
You love them, and you
close.
Love them.
I mean, it's close, but I probably take them slightly over the Lakers, and that's it. We're going to get to Anthony Davis's comments, but they own the Oklahoma City Thunder, who may very well end up as the number one seed. They got a bright future. Holmgren is going to be great. Mm-hmm. Obviously, SGA already is. And those other guys.
Jalen Williams, really
good.
Yeah,
they're good. Yeah. Like, they're going to be, they got a bright future. Future. All right. I would take the Lakers in a series over them, and I wouldn't even think twice. All right. I think they got too much experience. I think there's the LeBron factor of just his aura. These guys grew up idolizing LeBron James. Like, so they just proved that they own Oklahoma City. And they have been playing well lately. And the key, I think they've won 10 of their last 14.
Yep.
And D'Angelo Russell has been huge. Mm-hmm. All right. He's averaging 21 points over like the last 2 months. And the thing is, when he's aggressive and playing this well, last night he had 26, he kind of broke it open with a bunch of threes in the top of the fourth quarter. But AD is going to be great defensively every night. And offensively, sometimes he's going to be awesome. Sometimes he's going to be okay. When D'Angelo is playing like this, it allows you to survive the okay nights. Because then Austin Reeves can step up as well. Right. And so, look, the Lakers are playing well, and as I said yesterday, Denver and the Clippers, and really Denver definitively, are the only two ahead of the Lakers.
And if people didn't watch the game, it was not as close as the score suggests. No. It was 25-point lead for the Lakers midway through the fourth, and they pulled the starters. And listen, it was D'Lo. And LeBron, there's a viral clip going around where D'Lo had hit back-to-back threes. He comes up for the possession, passes to LeBron, and LeBron angrily passes it back to him, like, "Hey, take your heat check, man." And then D'Lo takes what I would consider, or let me rephrase, what I'm certain Paul George would consider a bad shot, but he makes it, and they call timeout, and D'Lo and LeBron celebrate, and LeBron is very interesting in how he handles teammates. Because up until the trade deadline, if he thinks they can improve, he will make it very clear, we should probably improve this spot. But the moment it is, these are the guys I've got to run with, he will turn it to, I've always loved this guy. I am gassing him up, and we're going to need him, and I'm going to need him. And my concern and frustration with D'Lo is, in the playoffs, does he become unplayable because of the defensive side of the ball? But during this stretch, they're the number two offense. Yeah. And if you can't sustain an awful defensive player if he only raises your level of offense to, above average. But if all of a sudden you're going to have an elite offense, then you can sustain some defensive weaknesses. But Wilds, this is why talking the Lakers is so tough, because you're right, they're the 9 seed. Mm-hmm. And now, again, it's jumbled, and they could be the 6 seed in a week and a half.
The problem is, as well as they've been playing, the whole West is playing well.
Absolutely.
So they can't even move up.
But the reason I was saying it's tough is, people like, you guys talk too much Lakers, LeBron, AD, they're the 9 seed. But I agree with Brew. Aside from Denver, I like their chances against any team in the West. I'm not saying they're a head and shoulders favorite over those guys.
Or that they're even definitely favorite in some of them.
Absolutely. But there's only one team, Wilds, that I think they can't beat in a series. And probably there's only one team that if the series were to start that I would pick over the Lakers in the West, I'm talking. And that's Denver. I don't trust Minnesota.
No.
I certainly don't trust OKC. And a lot of it feels like Memphis last year. Like, Memphis is the 2 seed, Memphis this. It was like, okay.
So yesterday they were at home. They're not going to have home court advantage for the playoffs unless they somehow go on a crazy run and teams fall. They've won 12 games at home.
They've won, and one of the games was at the Clippers, so I'm asterisking it. It's 12 with an asterisk.
Oh, they've won 12 games at home or on the road?
I'm sorry, they've won 12 games on the road. They've won 12 games on the road. Teams with less wins than Lakers on the road. Here, this is the full list in the West. The Jazz, the Rockets, the Blazers, and the Spurs. So you think I understand the LeBron factor. I understand Anthony Davis's defense, and maybe D'Angelo will get hot and stay hot. But do you think a team that has won 12 games on the road is all of a sudden going to steal one or two games?
We saw it a year ago. And the Warriors were even worse than the
Warriors
Lakers.
Were way worse.
What, they went six? I don't even want to say it.
That was such a weird.
They were worse than the Lakers on the road. Yeah. And that experience enabled them to go as far as they should have gone. You know, and they beat Sacramento.
I'd have to look at it. But I was just trying to, rush through the math in my head. Because you just listed five teams with fewer road wins or four teams with fewer road wins. Well, if they're the 9 seed, there's only 6 teams with fewer overall wins than them in the West.
Yeah, so they're good at home.
But they have struggled on the road.
I understand that. But I guess my point is, are they a two-game road winning streak away? A two-game road winning streak away from being about what the typical 7-8 seed is on the road. You know what I mean? Mm. Where you're around a couple games under 500 on the road and then a couple games over 500 at home. I watch Lakers a lot. I don't look at them as a team like the Warriors last year that was like, they can't win on the road. And even the Warriors, to Brew's credit, won a game 7 on the road. All it took was Steph Curry's 50
points. We went to that Lakers-Knicks game. We've seen 8% of their road wins, 9% of their road wins. Last year, the Lakers started in the play-in, ended in the Western Conference Finals, where despite Darvin Ham saying that he would be fine, trust him, ended up getting swept. Here's AD on what I'm calling seed apathy.
I like that.
We don't really care what, seed we in. We've proven that last year. It doesn't matter. I think this goes with anyone. You just try to get in, and then playoffs is a different animal. So, we don't look at it as we'd rather have this matchup than this matchup. For us, it's just about getting in and tackling each opponent from there.
That's how they won the championship last year. Hold on a second. Got swept in Denver. Doesn't matter. You saw what happened last year. Your reaction to that, bro.
Well, I get where he's coming from because if they're in the 7th or 8th seed, they get OKC. Well, we don't know how it's going to play out, but they could get OKC or Minnesota. That I think a lot of people would pick the Lakers to win one of those series, right?
Yeah.
All right, and right now Denver's 3rd. They could end up number 1. But my point is this. I get where he's coming from because, as Nick and I said, there's only one team out there that they think feel like has their number to use LeBron's term.
You're making fun of AD, but I think you actually 100% agree with him.
I like the sort of confidence, we'll take anybody, take all comers, but also, I'd want to get out of the play-in.
Well, that I agree
with you. I want to play extra games.
The problem is that in a one-and-done against Stephen Clay could get hot, right? Luka and Kyrie could get hot if that's who you play, and then next thing you know, you're out. And so I hear you on that. You never want to be in a one-and-done situation in the NBA. And then you brought up D'Angelo Russell's defense. Yeah. Offensively, he's not the same in the playoffs.
Sure.
Last year goes from 17 points to 13 points, 17 in the regular season, 13 in the playoffs. Shooting goes way down in the playoffs. So that's the thing, too, with the Lakers.
So two quick points. One is, the reason I said I think you'd agree with actually what he's saying is, last year, the Lakers, no matter what their seed was, went literally as far as they could have gone. You think the Denver series would have gone different? Of course not. You know what I mean? No, they were they were the 7. They basically inherited the path of the 2 and got as far as they could, which was facing Denver. And so I get that piece of it. I think So the Lakers with LeBron have been in the play-in twice, and both times they've won those games. But I think there is a big difference between – it's not one and done if you're the 7 or the 8.
Right.
I'm saying I agree with you guys. I don't think you're going to see a team be the 9 or the 10 and go on a deep postseason run, maybe as long as this play-in thing exists. Mm-hmm. Because – what that really means is you have to win 6 out of 9.
Right.
You know what I mean? Super high leverage games against the first 2 against teams as good as you, and the next 4 against a team way better than you. But the Lakers number one, if you, let me put it like this. If Denver's the three and it's the last game of the year and Denver's locked into the three and the Lakers are like, win and we're the six, lose and we're the seven. I would lose and have to play with that play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so in that regard, I agree. Right. It's about avoiding Denver.
Yeah, I agree. Why is that?
They don't match up well with them.
Nope, say it.
No, you say
no one's beating Denver in a seven-game series.
You should get a tattoo about that.
You know what? I thought
never
about it.
Yeah, never a doubt.
Giannis warming up before Bucks Clippers. No go. Some say wincing, some
Wiles,
would say.
Wow, I got to go with Nick on this.
Thank you. Bro, what happened
you so
the
overstated
show?
This.
What happened before the show?
This is not. Wiles is just, I hadn't seen it. Wiles is describing it to me. Giannis just goes up for a jumper and collapses.
I didn't say collapse.
He says writhing in pain. Writhing means you're laying down,
you,
collapse, and you just can't get up. I mean, you
he
so
winced.
Overstated.
He
right,
meant
he went.
To say wince. He said
he said writhing in pain.
Maybe I'm wrong. Dusty, can you do some research just real quick?
Writhing
Dusty,
in pain.
Can you pull up the research on Achilles? Just put that in Wikipedia, see what pops up.
Okay.
Is Achilles a big deal?
Go ahead.
What? He's
is
not
it turf
writhing.
Toe? Is it bigger
he
than turf
not
toe?
Writhing.
Bucks ended up winning. Even though Giannis didn't play because his Achilles hurts. It's a big deal. No one's talking about it.
What do you mean
we're
talking
about
him? It happened
eight, you guys say it's not a big deal.
Ago. All right. I'm going to go Galaxy
Brain. I have a full screen.
All right. Sorry.
Doc, it's working now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Doc.
Listen, obviously the Bucks are ruined if Giannis is seriously injured.
There is
obviously. Right. Everybody knows that. Let's assume he's not seriously injured and that he's going to be okay. I think this could be awesome for them.
Oh.
You mean him being out for a
bit? Him being out for a bit. Because Boston's the one seed. They could be the Wizards for a month and still end up being the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
They're that far clear of the field. They need Dame to get his mojo back.
Yes.
Last night is very Dame-ish.
Right.
Dame this year... We knew the Bucks defense was going to get worse, but Dame was going to lift their offense so much. Dame this year has been good. He hasn't been anything.
He hasn't been Dame.
And so I think Dame getting back to what he was in Portland a bit, except with bigger stakes, better teammates, and then having Giannis come in right for a playoff push could be good for them. So I think
you
Giannis,
think if he was out
a couple weeks. Yeah, I mean, I think that actually...
Rest a little, yeah.
Yeah, it could be good for them.
There's some logic there for sure, but here's the thing. They still, I don't think, are fully comfortable with each other. All right? And that obviously won't get better if he's out for 3 weeks and then we're about to start the playoffs. Also, now, they clearly don't want to see Miami, and who knows where Miami will end up as
correct.
A seed. But if Giannis is out and they go on a losing streak or, you know, a bad stretch... That could lower their seeding, and then it just makes your games tougher until you get to Boston in the championship of the conference, if that's where they go. So, obviously, Nick's right. Without Giannis, they're done. But, Doc, I got to give him credit. We know it's all about the playoffs. But the six-game win streak, the defense since Doc has taken over has – it's not been – a little bit better, mediocre. They were bad before he got there, the 19th in the league. They've been fourth since, like, January 29th.
Don't listen to Pat Bev tell it. He'll say
I'm going to give Bev a little credit.
Oh. Yes.
Bev is a gnat. I'm telling you, from a guy that played low-level college basketball, a guy like that that's just always bothering you and just aggressive and – It's bothersome.
Wait, was that who you were? Or
no,
you were
at times, I was that.
You were like Paul George in like the Pat Bev clip.
I wasn't a star, but I had a little Pat Bev. Like, that's what you – I mean, that he has helped your defense, no doubt.
Okay.
Doc is doing a good job so far.
You
going to
bring the deer back, Wilds?
You know what? Maybe.
Maybe? I thought no one's beating Denver.
Coming up next – the debut of King of the Hill.
Well, our graphic's going to get improve on it. It will. This is a new
Does
segment.
Does that mean LeBron's on
new.
Top?
Well, I guess you'll have to find
on
out.
Top of Mahomes, right?
Well, but so the thing is, Mahomes is the greatest player ever and still playing. LeBron is the greatest player ever and still playing, but Mahomes is still at his peak. But LeBron isn't. You understand what I mean? So LeBron doesn't have to be at the top.
I think we need a larger hill.
Time now for After Headlines.
The graphic will work.
Sponsored by Ram Trucks. They are built to serve. Dak Prescott said he was confident his deal would get done and weighed in on criticism of the Cowboys' culture. Take a listen.
The culture's high, honestly, and the culture's great from my standpoint. And I say that in the sense is I actually don't know what all talk's been said, so I don't want to go into a, I don't know, good, bad, or whatever. I've heard some, but I can't, you guys know if anybody, I'm not the one listening, and I'm trying not to, so. But my point is, yeah, that's something I've always bragged on and took pride in. So if there's questions of that, concerns on that, I feel attacked.
Okay, Brew, you didn't love that?
I like his demeanor. Dak looked great, professional, all that was good. But this makes me want to pull out the tomato cans,
don't do that.
The F cards, all of that.
Why?
Because the culture is the problem. What was the culture of the Patriots under Belichick?
Do your job.
Work. Do your job. Yeah. What's the culture of the Chiefs? I think it's fun and confidence.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Right? I mean, right? The culture of the Niners.
One. Fun and bravado, yeah.
Intelligent play.
Overcoming
tough.
Mediocre.
But all of those teams, the culture is what? Based on what?
The play.
Football.
Okay, sure.
Football. The Cowboys' culture is drama. That's their culture because drama sells. And that's what Jerry Jones, for all, as much as he wants to win a Super Bowl, of course, he wants to win a Super Bowl. But what he wants more is the Cowboys on the talk shows, the jerseys selling, our guys out there, and we're the talk of the league.
Right.
That's
folks
what
putting
he
tomato
wants.
Tomato cans on the zone.
Yeah, he probably don't mind that because it sells, all right? until their culture becomes one of football. We are a football franchise. We're not a soap opera. We're not, you know, just entertainment. We're not Hard Knocks on HBO all season. Until they do that, they're not going to win big.
All right. So you, I don't know if it's quite a Category 2 yet, but given how the Cowboys played in the playoffs, your season-long statements about them have moved me a bit, right? So it certainly appears that you're on the right side of this argument. With that said, what's Dak supposed to do? What's Dak supposed to do? Because does Dak have a boss? If he does, it's really not Mike McCarthy as much as it's Jerry Jones.
Right.
And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. When you're talking the culture, you might have questions about Dak in big games, Dak in the playoffs, whatever. You don't think Dak's a part of the problem culture-wise. I would argue, or I shouldn't say you don't, I don't. I think Dak's part of the solution culture-wise.
Here's what I'll say to you, though. Remember, was it DeMarcus Lawrence that came out and said we were exhausted by the time the playoff against Green Bay?
Okay.
Remember he said he was saying – not physically, I don't believe, emotionally. They were burnt out.
But that,
because for 17 weeks and beyond, it's so much pressure on
but
the
that's
Cowboys.
Not, right, I agree with all that.
Because Jerry creates the
right,
pressure.
Right, that's my point, though. My point is, Dak is answering for it. And I think Dak instills a pretty positive culture from his leadership standpoint, what he can control.
That's right.
I don't think Dak isn't the one doing the podcast, right?
Dak is doing
nothing wrong off the field.
Yeah.
I think a kid's cancer thing or some charity thing. I think Dak does, you know, he's almost a boring quote most of the time, like Mahomes is, you know, I'm not going to give you any headlines.
Right. In that regard.
And so I guess the point I'm making is I think you can be correct, and I also empathize for Dak in this spot. Because here's what Dak can't do. Tell Jerry to change. He just can't. It's the only person in the franchise that he has no control over.
That's right.
And so it's a weird spot. It is the head of his company, the owner of his company, and it's like he knows. Dak's in there like, and so he puts it on himself. It's like, I
don't have no problem with, I mean, he has to, you're right, this, and he's trying to get a huge contract from him too. So I don't blame him. I wonder, maybe I'm just dreaming. But and I think when you're a player in that culture, it's probably hard for them to see it like I see it outside.
No, but this is what Micah said. Cut the extra stuff out. I just want people to lock in for 22 weeks. 7 months can change your life, and I am ready.
So could, look, their leader, their player leaders, Dak, Micah, whoever else it is, could they talk to Jerry? I mean, sit down with Jerry and say, look, coach, just what Micah said, we want this to be about just football. You know, yeah, I mean, I get it. It's tough. I'm not saying I'm asking the question.
I don't think
can
so.
Can you go in and say, look.
I don't think they can. But I also think.
No, it's like, okay, you want to be on my podcast?
Yeah, right. That's the thing.
Second, that's the best thing.
I think Micah's not the best messenger for it. I think Dak is. Like, you know what I mean? But when Dak is sitting there like, listen, I try to set a good culture.
He does.
And I think he is saying, in the locker room, the culture's good. And
if Dak privately said, you know what, I don't want to hear the word Super Bowl until it's the Super Bowl.
To who?
But
to
Dak the team. Says it too.
That's what I'm saying. To the team.
Oh, so okay.
We're going to hear about the Cowboys Super Bowl.
Well, Jerry brings it up. That's the problem.
In August, we're like, you know,
he got to say that to Jerry.
Bound. After game one, it's like, that's one game down. We have 19 more to go till we get to the Super Bowl. This is who's king of the hill next.
They will be saying that.
Live from New York, it's the show that is debuting a brand new segment. In approximately 1 minute, it's the second hour of First Things First today. Are the Giants done with Daniel Jones? Greg Jennings phones in to express his displeasure. Meanwhile, is Brew still riding with his Clippers after losing to the Bucks? Predictions week is next week, but Brew gives us a hint. But right now, I'm headed on a long journey.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and although I'm obviously on Mahomes Mountain, most of the Mountaineers are resting in the offseason. Thus, we move towards another peak in a new segment named after the most dominant player of this century. We present to you our new segment called King James of the Hill, a.k.a. Mahomes Mountain NBA Edition.
Wilds, great introduction as always. Similar parameters, a maximum of 28 players on the mountain. That's the room for it, just like the Mahomes Mountain. And it is a fluid list. This is not an all-time ranking, obviously. And it is not a definitive, this is, you know, one, two, three, four, five. It is like Mahomes Mountain. It's a rich tapestry of many factors. Because no one could have fallen off, because today is the first edition, give you a little bonus, you know, at the bottom, guys who are, you know, bottom of the valley, just missing out. Three number one picks at three different stages of their careers all are right there and could be on the mountain as early as next week, and maybe were on it as recently as a few weeks ago when we had, you know, our dry runs of, not the mountain, but pardon me, of King of the Hill. All right, bottom row, row seven. These guys all are excellent second options, but if any of them are your first option, you have a very clearly defined ceiling. So the only first options on there right now are Trey and Paolo. And Paolo one day, I think, could be an excellent first option. He's not quite there yet. And by the way, Orlando's going to be in the playoffs. Good job. Trey's a number one option. The Hawks are a little disappointing. But these are all really good players. These are all top 30 players right now in the league. Now to the top 20 guys. And this speaks to how deep the league is, that these guys are, you know, that we have got not quite really in the top 15. But these guys, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, two of the best scorers in the league. Jamal Murray, a champion, number two. Dame trying to be that. De'Aaron Fox, the best player on a team that's going to be, you know, around 50 wins for the second straight year. And then Tyrese Halliburton, who, while the Pacers have cooled off a bit, Tyrese Halliburton was putting together a first-team All-NBA caliber season early in the year, now probably maybe more of a second-team All-NBA guy. Still an unbelievable year. All right, now we're in real club superstar territory, Brew. You have, you know, back-to-back two-time finals MVPs in KD and Kawhi, Anthony Davis, who's a champion, Anthony Edwards, who is the best player on a team fighting for a one seed. And shout-out to Jalen Brunson, who I liked when he was in Dallas. I loved him last year by the end of the year, and now I like him even more. I know, obviously, he had the scary injury, but he's going to be okay. These guys are all club superstar adjacent. By the way, shout out to Kawhi for his first healthy season in forever and really being excellent. Okay, so I'm a little, go to row four. I'm a little conflicted on one of these players, and that player is SGA, because part of me feels like this is too low because he is having an MVP caliber year. Part of me feels like this, he's alongside LeBron in his 10 finals, Jimmy Butler in his 2 finals, Steph in his 6 finals appearances, and guys that have real pelts on the wall, and guys that we know are dominant postseason performers. Shea's never been above 500 for his career, for a season, and never been in the playoffs. But, like I said, it's fluid list. All right, now the real cream of the crop. First team All-NBA caliber guys this season. Embiid is hurt, but he's going to be back. Luke is averaging 35 a night, and we're almost numb to it. And Tatum was tough. I'll be honest.
You come around on him, though.
It could be higher, but I also, you know, I thought about LeBron in that spot. I thought about Jimmy in that spot. I thought about Steph in that spot.
LeBron.
We can discuss it more in a moment.
Sorry.
But, yeah, I'm just telling you, I thought about it. As far as if the who I trust over in the postseason, LeBron or Tatum, or Jimmy or Tatum, that's a tough one. And so but Tatum, that's where it is. These guys are all first-team All-NBA caliber if they were to play the games. And now to the part people are going to get mad at. Okay. So, listen, I tried to show Joker's respect by making the spot next to him vacant. I know everyone, just reveal the top row as well, please. I know everyone thinks it's insane to not put Jokic at the top.
Yeah.
All I can do is be honest. I think Giannis is the best player in the league. I don't think there's anyone that deserves to be next to Jokic, because I think he's clearly the next best guy. But I think Giannis, I understand last night he is the Achilles scare.
He was writhing
in pain. He is having an underrated, maybe best season of his career caliber performance this year. We can get into that more later. And so there it is. There is the king of the hill. I know Joker fans are going to be mad at me, but listen, second place isn't that bad. That's what people in Bruisman tell me forever about the GOAT debate. It's not, no problem to be in second place on it. There's first edition king of the hill.
I would love to go off on Jokic, but I know that's Wilds' thing, so I'm going to leave that for you. But Jokic is the best player in the league. I mean, and with all due respect to Giannis, I don't want to act like he's chopped liver, but Jokic is the best player in the league. But I'm going to focus on Jimmy Butler.
I think he should be higher, too?
No, I think he's too high.
Oh, my God.
I'm kind of looking at it as regular season right now, because it's going to change every week. I get playoff Jimmy. I get big face coffee. I get the funky little hairdo and piercings for the picture day and all that stuff. But Jimmy Butler's too. I would take KD out, and I think it's left to right. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're wrong.
I got my sources on your new committee too.
To right.
I would take Steph, SGA, KD, Kawhi, AD, and for all his silliness, Anthony Edwards over Jimmy Butler. Right now, I mean, we're talking about right now, playoff, right now, regular season. I would put them over Jimmy Butler. Well, pick any of those guys, but I'll throw Ant Edwards, switch him places with Butler or KD, whoever you want. You can put Butler where Jalen Brunson is. I covered his dad.
Yeah,
Him where Jalen is and move Jalen down. And I like Jalen. I would put Donovan Mitchell where Jalen is. I know I'm getting all
–
I'm
tearing to listen thing. To the –
But I got to say this before I go.
Oh, we have more.
Yeah. Wimby. Wimby instead of Trae Young on the bottom row.
Okay. So, by the way, the producers begged Brew to just stick to one.
He
couldn't do it.
He's not going
to
do it.
So, can I give the – listen, I am trying to thread the needle of how they're playing this year plus what we know and believe about them in the postseason. And I think despite the fact that they were in the finals again last year.
That's fair.
Jimmy Butler. Can we just show Jimmy Butler since he got to the Heat? It's the last 4 playoffs. So how's the team? Well, they have the second most playoff games, second most playoff wins. How's Jimmy? He's got the second most playoff points, 7 most rebounds, 4 most assists, the most steals, leads the NBA in finals appearances, leads the NBA in conference finals appearances. You want to put Anthony Edwards ahead of him.
That's all postseason. I mean, I'm kind of looking at it. The regular season matters, too.
Which is why he's not up above Tatum. It's why he's not above Embiid. If it was all postseason, he'd be ahead of Embiid hands down. If it was all regular season, then he'd be way far, he'd be lower than even you're saying. Because it's a rich tapestry.
Rich tapestry.
I'm weaving it. It's the same thing I was saying, like, right now, and I know you guys scoffed at it, but I think that maybe I'm wrong, but I think that if you were told going into a series starts next week, fully healthy, you can have for this series LeBron or Tatum. That's a real argument in your head. Or Steph or Tatum. That is a real question to have, even though we know that Tatum right now is having the better season of those guys. Is that not a question for you?
No.
What?
I want to root for Tatum.
Oh,
he turned the ball over a lot.
Oh, I thought you were saying I was disrespecting Tatum, but you were thinking I was giving him too much respect.
Well, look, what does the guy need to do?
Tatum?
Yeah, get into a time machine and not turn the ball over?
No, he's got to probably win the championship to get to the next
level.
He's
got to win the championship.
The spot above him is vacant.
Literally, yeah, nobody's there. It's like being at a game. No, like, anybody sitting here?
You're gonna teach.
Can I sit there? No.
You're about to teach. I want to see
it's
here.
Basically, I just have one full screen.
Okay. It's about
and one pun.
Yeah.
Joker is number one. The producers made me say this. Stop horsing around.
Okay.
You want me to do a horse?
Yeah.
All right, so I know you're like, when was Joker the most dominant in your view, since we're so big on the playoffs? Last year in the playoffs.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Crushing, right?
Yeah, I thought you meant when
just dominating. Here he is in the last 20 games. So we got playoff Joker with a little trophy here in the last 20 games that start to heat up. Basically same points, more rebounds, more assists, same amount of turnovers, which I don't love. Field goal percentage is better, and his plus-minus is better. So when you saw Joker at the peak of his powers carry the Nuggets to the championship and him winning Finals MVP and even going reluctantly to the parade, in the last 20 games he's been better.
Yeah.
They're undefeated post-All-Star where they decide, you know what, we should probably turn it up a little bit. Let's get the number one seed. So, Wolves are going to fall. Thunder are, I think, a half game out of first. They will fall. Denver will be number one, and everyone's coming around. You're the last, holdout.
No. I'm not a holdout on this. But the Giannis part, I'm going to defend, because you're talking about their standing in the Western Conference. I don't know that they're going to finish with a better record than Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee can't be the one, because neither of them are going to finish ahead of Boston. Mm-hmm. And your point about how dominant Jokic was in last year's postseason, as great as he was, I don't think he was resoundingly more dominant when Giannis won the title with a 50-piece to close out the finals.
Yeah, but a little recency.
Right. And so let me give you the recency of this season. It might be Giannis's best season. And I'm not doing the per 36 minutes stuff. I'm doing what they're doing per game.
Sure.
Giannis is average. He's a half point away from his career high in points. He's at his career high in assists. And he's at 62% from the field, his career high by 5 points. I think Giannis is having one of the most underrated or undiscussed great seasons. 31-11-6 on 61% from the field. And I know scoring's up, Brew,
right.
But only three guys in the league are averaging more than 28 points per game. Giannis, SGA, and Luka. Embiid would as well if he qualified.
Yeah, okay.
So when you have...
But don't, I mean, does Jokic have a weakness?
Weakness.
Defense, he's not great, but it's not really a weakness.
No, and I know
I don't think
you're
going to
say
Giannis.
Right, Giannis has what Jokic is weakest at, which is defense. I agree. I don't think he's a weakness. Giannis might be the best in the league at it.
But Giannis can't shoot.
Giannis can't shoot.
And he misses free throws, and he's a good playmaker for what he is, but not close.
I guess,
Joker's a point center.
He doesn't close games. They brought Dame in to close.
I get it, but all of that was the case for Shaquille O'Neal. And there were times when Shaquille O'Neal was still the best player in the league. There was long times of it. When he couldn't shoot, he wasn't the closer, and he's still like, he's the best player in the league. I'm not trying to disrespect Jokic. I died on that hill already.
You dump the ball to Shaq, though, at the end of the game, and get you a bucket.
You can't do that for Giannis.
And what does he always say?
We saw him win the title.
He wants to give the ball to Dame.
That's fine.
He said it. End of the game,
guys,
I want you to have the ball.
He was a back-to-back MVP.
He kind of ran from it against
MVP.
Miami last year.
You're right. He hasn't been perfect every time, but the idea that a guy who averages damn near 30 over the last 5 years has won two
Nick, see how you watch Giannis is great, but I don't see how you watch Jokic. Like, this dude does everything.
Yes.
He's a point center.
He's averaging three more assists than Giannis. Giannis is the best
player in the league. It's not just the average.
I support the Giants if they're out on Daniel Jones. And I feel like I'm tied, forever tied to Daniel Jones because of my taker's remorse of saying Daniel Jones is a top 10 quarterback. I was wrong. You guys know I've said this. However, I feel like I'm tied to the demise and or the success of Daniel Jones. So I support Daniel Jones. I still support him. I want him to thrive. I just support the Giants in this decision if they decide to be out.
No.
He is tied. No. That's the one thing.
No, Greg will be here next week. Yeah. Awful take.
It wasn't even a take. Just, that is, in times like this, you need a Mr. Consistency.
That's
because
right.
That was, my arch nemesis. Yeah.
What would you say?
What?
What are you, crazy Giants?
What I would have never said was what he said.
Well.
I don't know.
But Rich Eisen, fresh from a combine filled with reporting and participation, said this on a show. The Giants are absolutely done with Daniel Jones, continues. The words I heard at the combine multiple times were buyer's remorse. Yikes. We're in year two of a four-year, $160 million contract, which I thought was fair.
What?
What? Yeah. You sound like Greg Jennings.
I don't know, $40 million.
Well, it was really 2 years. 2 years guaranteed, right?
Well, two. So but they're gonna.
Get out of it.
They can get out of it. Beat the Vikings. Their second year. So after this coming year, they would only have $20 million of dead money. But it was so dumb. Yeah. This is what the franchise tag existed for. I cannot believe.
I agree.
That this is. You have the same coach and GM, like the Giants. Sometimes people are like, do you really think you know more than the people in the front office? I'm like, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. And the fact that the Giants, do you know how many games Daniel Jones played healthy last year? Four. Mm. You guys had his whole career and the season before, you know what? We're going to franchise Saquon, ruin our relationship with him, because we can't franchise Daniel Jones, so we have to show our commitment. 4 years, $160 million, 80-some million guaranteed. He played four healthy games last year, and now you're like, get him out of the building. Yeah. Get him out of the building. Same GM and head coach. What are you doing?
Well, you are right there. Like, my reaction is, what in the world took you so long?
Well, yeah.
He's not. Hold on. The year before they signed him, the year they convinced him he was worth $160 million, he threw 15 touchdowns in 16 games.
Yeah.
He threw over 230 yards three times, including the two playoff games, twice against Minnesota and once against Detroit, which were two of the worst pass defenses in the league at
that time. That's true.
I mean, what in the world were they thinking?
He's fast.
He can move a little bit.
Saquon's fast, too. You should have gave him a little bit of money and franchised Daniel Jones, watched him for another year. Luckily, they only guaranteed him the 2 years, and they get out of it. But this is
– I thought they got playoff fever.
Ridiculous.
They won a playoff game, and they were over the moon. And they thought they had their guy.
But he couldn't have gone anywhere if they had a franchise tag.
Well, they should have.
Of course. And Wilds, I say this with respect. You have horrible quarterback PTSD right now. Because of watching Mac Jones for the last 3 years.
Pro bowler.
What's wrong with
2 years?
There is no.
1 year he was in the Pro Bowl. No, but, so you tell me that was a bad year for me?
But you have watched Mac Jones, the good and the bad, for 3 years. And because of that, any quarterback that we talk about in the last 2 years has shown a flash of competence, you're going to be up here and be like, that guy's not bad. I'd take him. He'd be fine. He'd help us. And so you can't – it's fog of war for you, buddy. You can't see it. And so
– I believe in guys. I'm an optimist. We believe in Baker. Baker had was bad with the Browns, went to Carolina, was bad with Carolina, had one moment with the Rams, and we're like, oh, that was good. And
Baker
was
Mayfield.
And then he went to Tampa Bay, and we're like, oh, won a playoff game. We're like, yeah, man, you're back. Bruce Winter jersey, we all believed in him.
Baker Mayfield won the Heisman Trophy in college, set the rookie touchdown passing record his first year in Cleveland. His third year in Cleveland, the Browns won a playoff game on the road against Pittsburgh. He then was bad for a year and a half and then was good again. Daniel Jones was mediocre at Duke. Was bad his first year, bad his second year,
won a
flash
game.
In his third year.
Won a then playoff game won, just like
won
Baker.
Won a playoff game. Yeah, but
look, I think he was – his rookie year was okay. He threw 24 touchdowns, if I remember correctly, his rookie year.
And he fumbled
and he's had
twice
a, he was fumble-itis. Yeah. That was a problem. But he's had a ton of offensive coordinators. So I can get them thinking, oh, he had this 1 year under Brian Daboll. He played okay. We made the playoffs, won a game. You didn't have to give him $160 million. That's what we said. You can franchise him and get another look.
That's right. You should have.
That's what they should have done.
I just don't know why I don't. I if I owned the Giants and I heard the Giants people who signed him to this are leaking this to Rich Eisen, I'd be furious.
Poorly run
organization. He's played four games since you signed him.
And check out our podcast if you get a chance, and our YouTube channel. Although Dusty told me we're 243 million subscribers behind Mr. Beast.
242.
Oh, well, thank you.
Subscribe. And next week, starting on Monday, it's
Wow. I got to be honest, I like it.
Wow.
I like it. First time I'm in the front.
Wow.
You look great. I mean, you look fantastic. That is a leading man.
We should go with that one then. That's
I like that one a lot.
Officially.
Congratulations.
That trio.
Predictions week. Medals time. Jazz Wolves, the very start of the game. This is Anthony Edwards trying to check in. Nope, can't do it because the game has already started. There was a rumor going around that perhaps he had some bathroom issues. He said, no, just
stretching.
Lost track of time. That's it.
Not okay.
So you're giving me Anthony Edwards is my guy now because of this. You're off me.
I mean,
I'll take it.
Bronze medal.
I'll take it.
Kobe White, 37-7 in a win over the Beamless Kings. No, I was recently in Sacramento or right by there. I wanted to go light the beam or see the beam, but they didn't have it up that night. Sad.
That's how you're allowed to do that?
I mean, I am. I was the beam ambassador last year. Silver medal, Anthony Davis, 24-12-3. He mostly gets the on the medal stand, though, for consistently bullying Wild's guy Chet Holmgren. I enjoyed that. Chet's had some rough times against LeBron and AD. Gold medal, Dame. 41-4-4 and a really nice win for the Bucks. Who, it's one thing to know you're not going to have your best player. Another thing, right before the game, he gets scratched in a game against the Clippers team. Dame came through for him. There's the podium from last night.
Excellent.
In the association.
So Dame wins, Clippers lose. Three games out of first, but three teams are ahead of them. Brewer, of course, 6 days away from predictions week. The world wants to know, and we don't want to give away the full movie, but just the trailer. Any hint to whether you're riding with your Clippers?
Well, look, I'm disappointed in my Clippers right now. They've lost six of their last 11. I think they're 3-4 since the All-Star break or something like that. So they've been struggling, and I don't like what I see. And I am James.
What?
He hadn't been the only problem, but I'm just saying it does make me wonder, like, y'all, they better get it together. And those six losses, all the playoff level teams or play-in teams.